So, anyone enjoy the first session? Did it leave you with some homework assignments? Wonderful. So we're going to hand over to Horvath now, and we're going to have another feast in the Word of God. So open your hearts, open your spirit, open your mind for all that the Holy Spirit wants to relate through His Word, and let's greet Him in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Yeah. Such a privilege to be here, and I would really have liked to bring my wife with me, and but I just want to bring you greetings from her. Her name is Katrine, and she lives in Trondheim. We live in Trondheim in Norway, and we got three kids. So, and someone asked me, "How do I pronounce your name?" It's Howard, and so it's. If you say, "How are you?" and you leave the last part, the "you," then you got it, okay? Yes, so this is my first time ever teaching in English without the interpreter, okay? So, and you know, growing up in the 90s in Norway, I used to say I learned all my English from Bruce Willis. So if you hear some bad language here, just it's my English teacher. So you know, but when I came to Christ, I started to read some English editions of the Bible. So I got some of these archaic English, you know, that old-fashioned stuff, King James Version English. So it's a mixture here. King James Version is my own one tutor, and then I got Bruce Willis. And so, well, I want to. The header for this session is seeing the unseen, and prophetic people are seers. God has opened the eyes of our hearts. Where I live or grew up in Norway, it's a small place up in the mountains in the middle of Norway, and just in the recent 2 years, people have started to do some gold digging in the area. So it's one river in particular that they started to find small amounts of gold in it. So I think it's a company of 5-6 lads that have got the permission to dig for gold there, and they started in where the river runs into the lake, and they have worked their way upwards. So in the beginning, they've just found these small pieces of gold, but as they are working upwards the river, last summer, they broke the Norwegian record for the biggest gold nugget twice.
Wow.
So that was a good summer. And and they are aiming for the source of the gold.
Very good.
Yeah. So, and I think in many ways, speaking words of prophecy is, and when God speaks to us in prophecy, it's in many ways it's like being the gold digger. You know, you find the word of God, but what you really are out for is the source. You find the gold. You know, I know where this is coming from. This is pure gold. But I'm not here for the nuggets.
Yeah.
I'm here for the source.
Yeah.
I'm lost to know God.
Yeah.
So one of the when you talk about the plan of God, you can see all through the scriptures that God is working. He created heaven and earth, and in his heart, it was always his plan to join heaven and earth together. So, the scriptures tells us that in the fullness of time, God brought Christ into the world, and in Christ, he has joined heaven and earth. Amen. And that's amazing. The scriptures actually talks about the life of God as a river. So when I read in Genesis, I often think when I read about the well or the spring in the garden, that this well was this river in the garden. It was like a prophetic sign about another river or another well or another spring that God wanted to pour out. And I had this thought that when Adam and Eve was walking in the garden, that somehow the angels would have known that, or there was a rumor in the heavenly places that if only Adam would reach out his hand and take to the tree of life, if he did that, all heaven would open. And the source from heaven would just pour out in the world, on earth. And I like to think that when Adam and Eve reached out to the hand and eat the fruit that they shouldn't be eating, that the angels must have thought, well, they must have a sense that no, heaven is closed. You see, the angels that guarded the garden, they said, it is closed now. You're not allowed to enter it. And throughout the history, all the prophets are talking about this river, this heavenly river that they long for, that God is speaking about. There, one day there will be a river that will water the earth. And Jesus himself is in John's Gospel. It says in chapter 7, verse 37, he says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Amen. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. So Jesus said, there will be a time when rivers will flow on earth again. Yeah. And then he says, it will be like a river with living water flowing from within you. Yeah. Isn't that great? Yeah. So the day of Pentecost come and the disciples are gathered, and stretching their hands towards heaven and reaching out for Jesus. And I think perhaps some of the angels thought, well, no, they are reaching out for the tree of life. No, the heaven can be open. And the Father says, here is my promise.
Yeah.
Pour it out.
Yeah.
It's like, we can read it in Acts 2, how Peter is explaining what's happening on the day of Pentecost. Acts in verse 32, he says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you know, see, and hear. So, God was just opening the heavens, pouring out his Spirit, and all heaven was just bursting forth on earth. Well, inside the disciples, as a well inside of them. Okay? So, heaven's gate is inside you. Heaven's gate isn't somewhere else. Okay? Heaven's gate is the river inside of you, bursting forth, flowing with fresh water. Actually, in you, God has brought heaven and earth together. Yeah, in Christ, he has brought it together. In you, you are heaven's gate. So Jesus, he taught us to pray this: God, Father, let your will be done on earth just as in heaven. And he brought heaven near, the kingdom of heaven near, by pouring out all heaven within us. And pouring out his Spirit. The river of life that we read about flowing from the throne of God is now pouring out on earth through disciples like you and me, watering the earth. So being a prophetic community is not something that we are trying to be. Tony has been into this just, but we are the gates of heaven. Amen. We are bringing the fresh water from God wherever we are. So, in many ways, when we have a prophetic conference, we expect to get equipped in speaking prophecy. Okay? But when you read through the book of Acts, you see that immediately when people were baptized in the Spirit, they started to speak prophetic words. So they didn't go through any training. There's no training sessions between the baptism in the Spirit and then you start to prophesy. No, it's just like it's a gift. It comes with the Spirit of God. It's the most natural thing to do. And so if you find someone gives you a very complicated way to speak prophetic, I don't think you should get that training. Okay? Because the biblical way is very simple. And but I used to say that speaking words of prophecy, it might be some simple principles that can help us. But they should be very simple. Okay? So let me just mention two of them. When you read in 1 Corinthians 14 about the prophetic gifts, I think the most important word in the chapter is edifying. Yeah. Now, the language of the Spirit is hope, life, building up, strengthening. So, if you want to speak prophetic, speak the dialect of the Spirit. Okay? So that's very easy. You focus on building up the others. Okay? So, sometimes people come to me and say, well, I want to speak prophetic words. And I think, well, you're baptized in the Spirit. This isn't difficult. But I say, well, fix your attention on this one thing. Be a person that brings encouragement.
Yes.
And build up others. Okay, so shall we try that? Just turn to the person next to you and find something good to say. Okay, two or three things. Great. Okay. So, anyone got encouraged? Yes. Isn't it interesting that perhaps you got most encouraged by bringing an encouragement?
Yes.
That's cool. Those who refresh others, they are refreshed themselves. So. So when we have our attention on just building up others, it's so easy to flow in the prophetic gifts. This is the language of the Spirit. This is the dialect of the Spirit. And then it's one verse here in 1 Corinthians 14 that says, two or three prophets should speak and the others should wait carefully what is said. So, I find that many people, they don't speak prophecy because they do the work of the others. Okay. Your task is to speak. The others are to test the word. Okay. If you turn it around and start to test the word before you speak it, you'll never start to speak prophecy. Okay. So, it's very plain and straightforward in the scriptures, but We tend to mess it up. So it's an aspect in this to understand that God is speaking to the body. Because God doesn't allow me or anyone of us to perfectly speak his word with no error at all times, in all circumstances, because he wants us to depend on the body. So God says the word comes to the body. So I speak what I see, but I need the rest of the body to really get a hold on what God is saying. So if God had allowed independency, then you could test the word before you spoke. But because God wants to bring the body together, he has made this principle. Somebody is speaking and the other is testing the word. And for those of you who were together with us yesterday, we just mentioned that the testing of the word is, according to the scripture, it is about finding what is good. Okay.
Very good.
So the testing of the word is not finding faults, but it is finding the good stuff that you can go with. Okay. So that gives us a very friendly environment to speak prophetic in. You're not to test yourself, you just have to speak. And the ones that are listening to you, they will try to find the good stuff in what you say, and then they hold on to that.
Amen.
Okay? And they leave the rest.
Yeah.
And if they leave the rest, then you can leave the rest.
Yeah. Really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
So, I'm so glad God makes things easy for us.
Amen.
Because the alternative is bad. So, I want to use the rest of my time here to get back to where I started about the gold digging. Because we are not people running for words. Yes. We are people that are out to find God.
Right. Yeah.
And we are out for the revelation of Christ. We are out for heaven to see the life of heaven flow into the earth. So prophetic people will always seek to find God behind his words.
Yes.
You know, people who hasn't repented and met God, they will be out for only the nuggets. They're out for the blessing, but they're not in it to have Christ. So you find them all over the place. I've been ministering healing to people that just say thank you and they leave. And I say, well, don't you want to hear about the one who has just healed you? They say, no, thank you. And I say, well, when I got healed, I wanted to hear about Christ. But they say, no, I'm just here for the healing. Because knowing God is something else than just receiving his gifts. So, let's turn to the book of Revelation in chapter 5. No, sorry. In chapter 4. No. In Christ we are seated in the heavenly places. And in Christ, heaven has come near by his Spirit within us. So, whenever I am where the people of God are gathered, I will always look for the life of heaven. And I'm not looking merely for the words from heaven to come, but I'm looking for the life of God to flourish. I'm looking for the character of Christ to be expressed. I'm looking for I want to hear the melodies of heaven among the people of God.
Amen.
So, when we start to focus on our attention on God and seek him, as Tony said, just learning to be in his presence, it's like you can say we know that our home is in heaven, but when we spend time in God's presence, we feel at home in heaven. Okay? And we are familiar with the life of heaven in a way that when we experience something that is a contradiction to the life of heaven, we will immediately say, well, let's do something about it. So I think, God has given us eyes to see what is unseen. And he has given us ears to hear the melodies of heaven. And he has given us the ability to taste the fresh water that is flowing from the throne of God. In a way that when water flows that are not from the well of heaven, you will not know that's not the well that I'm drinking from. Because I've tasted fresh heavenly water this morning. So God is, just by being in God's presence, all our spiritual senses are getting, we are getting to know the life of heaven.
Amen.
So you can read, I think it's an interesting story about the prophet Elijah when God is saying, I'm going to meet you, stand behind this cliff. And then the presence of God, he said, God sends fire. And the prophet says, well, God wasn't in the fire. And then it was a mighty storm coming by, and the prophet just stood behind the cliff because God wasn't in the storm. And then the earth were shaking, and the prophet was just standing, hiding, because God wasn't in the earthquake. And I thought, well, when I read the book of Acts, these are the three first manifestations of the presence of God that I read about. The tongues of fire, the rushing wind, the earthquake when the disciples are gathered and asking God to reach out his hand. So, but the prophet knew God isn't in it this time. So prophetic people knowing God will not just look for the visible manifestation of something, but they are waiting for, they know the presence of God. It's not enough that a wind is blowing in the gathering. It has to be the breeze of the Spirit. It's not enough that it's a gathering with a lot of music and sound. And no, it's got to be the melody of heaven. So feeling at home in God's presence, spending time there, is sharpening us in a way that we can be a part of, just not in a technical way, doing the right things to release the presence of God, but knowing God. So that we can cooperate with the Spirit in just releasing the life of heaven on earth. So, is this a bit wishy-wishy?
No.
It's okay?
Yeah.
Because to me, this is very practical. I will try to be a bit more practical now, the last 10 minutes here. So, let's read together in the book of Revelation, chapter 4. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, and a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. So, I find when I read this portion of scripture that in heaven there is a dynamic between revelation and response. So all living things in heaven, they are seeing God's glory. They're seeing his greatness. And the response is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." I will always, when I'm together with the people of God, I will always expect to find an awareness of the holiness of God among God's people. You could say it could be like a tune of holiness. So if I meet God's people and they seek God, but it's like God is my buddy. And they're just laid back in his presence. I think, well, something is lacking in the revelation of the holy, almighty God in this place. In one sense, I don't need a word, a prophetic word, to have work to do in that place. Because I know the Almighty One, I will always expect among God's people to have an awareness of his holiness. That makes me think, well, I want to see the life of heaven here. I want to see the revelation of the Holy One among these people. So prophetic people are working out from what they see and hear in the heavenly. That means I don't have to prophesy necessarily, but I can. Perhaps it's time to look to the scriptures and just find a portion and just share about the holiness of God. And or perhaps it's time to just, among all these laid-back people, to bow your knees and shut the world out and just start to praise the Holy One. God, I just adore you. Your almighty presence is such a precious gift for us. And when you start to praise God out of the revelation of the Holy One, suddenly people are starting to see glimpses of heaven. Through your prayers, through the well that is pouring out of your heart. When I read this passage, it's so much about life. Whenever I come to the scriptures, I find I never return from a time with God in the scriptures without more life. Yes. This is a source of life. Yes. When I'm together with the people of God, I expect to see the river of life flowing among us. So whenever I get this sense that, it's a lack of life here, then I got work to do. Because the King of Life has his community on earth.
That's really good.
Then I look for life. And if I'm in a gathering, and sometimes I'm in a gathering, and I meet 100 silent disciples, then I will start to say something good. Something really good. God is good.
Amen.
It's life in here. And then there will be an old lady sitting in the middle of the crawler, and she will say, and I think, thank God, it's life in her. So then it's time to try to release the life of heaven. But I got two rivers in the room. It's mine, and I got an old lady with a mighty river inside.
Amen.
So I will say, so you, Lady of God, can you come and share with us? Do you have a word from God? Or do you have a passage from the scriptures that you could share with us? And she will come first. Oh, full of life. And start to share something. And the people of God will say, well, I recognize something here. And it's a kind of response in their hearts. And someone says, when she is bringing her testimony, another guy here is waking up and he says, well, last week I was reading my Bible, and what you just was telling me now was just the same as God spoke to me last week.
Yes.
That's great! And then we've got three rivers in the room, flowing with life. Okay. Because life speaks to life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Life, you know, you need someone living to wake you up when you're asleep. Okay. Dead people don't wake anyone. Okay. I experience this actually every night when I'm at home. I got my 5-year-old son, and because it's life in him, he'll come every night and wake me up and say, I want to sleep in your place. So he's my living teddy. But so I read about life here, and always when I come to the scriptures, I look for life. And when I come to, when the people of God are gathered, I will say, where is the life of God flowing now? And actually, we can be the kind of people that are releasing the life of heaven on earth just by finding the rivers. Let them flow. So if you are in position just of like leading a gathering, or perhaps you're not in that position and you think, well, there's a person here leading this gathering, but there's no fresh water in it, then you should think, well, it's time to get some watering in this place.
Yeah.
Don't keep the river back, but find a way to make it flow. So when we are at home in the heavenly places, we see things, we hear the sounds, we feel, we can taste the fresh water, and we can be the ones that are just releasing the life of heaven around us. Thank you.
Thank you.